Kia ora koutou, and welcome to another episode of South Pacific Muscle. Just myself and Mike tonight, so the dynamic duo here. Mike, how's life been down your way, buddy, in Dunedin? Yeah.
Well, still living the dream, man. It's school holidays are rapidly coming to an end. And about this time, I start going, how can I keep getting paid and not have to go back to work? I've never come up with a way, so I'm back at school next week.
Honestly, I can't wait. Next week, you're going to be a broken man. You're going to be like, oh.
Oh, I've been trying to desensitize myself a little bit by getting up at sort of 6 o'clock and doing cardio every morning to kind of get used to being up. But I've had a couple of afternoon naps, so I don't know if that's going to carry over to next week.
Oh, man, I miss the old afternoon naps. For those that don't know, a little backstory. I was teaching secondary maths and science of all things. And you kind of wonder how I ended up there. It was a really pragmatic decision. 3 o'clock finishes, go home for a sleep, then go to the gym. And that's how I ended up becoming a teacher. So actually, in reality, it was nothing like that. You know, it turned out to be a lot more late starts after coaching rugby and things. So, but I do miss the afternoon naps when on the chance, odd chance, I did have to get to have those. And I'm glad, you know, I've worked right through, so I don't have to have that big crash of suddenly arriving back at work and thinking, oh God, how do I get myself?
My thinking is I'd rather have the holidays and be wound down and find it hard to get back into it than not have the holidays. So
yeah,
it takes me a week or so to kind of wind back up again and get cranking. It's a different kind of stamina, kind of being in front of a bunch of kids all day, sort of being on, you know, all the time. But, you know, every job has its own challenges, and every job, you know, requires its own kind of particular kind of stamina. Well, I don't think I'd like to be a maths or a science teacher, you know, sitting in a classroom cooped up all day. But, you know, they don't like coming out on the field and chucking balls around and running around after kids either. So.
And look, it's really hard to be ungrateful for 6 weeks holidays over in New Zealand summer. Yeah, so, nice. Hey, anyway.
What's been happening?
Pretty obvious what's been happening, I think. Been doing a fair bit of eating. It's pretty clean still. I am keeping it pretty clean, but having like a meal at night, which is just a normal human meal, and it's fucking good. So doing that, I'm not doing a lot of cardio now, but I've ramped my intensity stuff up a lot, and I'm getting strong again. And I never thought I would get strong again. And, you know, I guess after being in a deficit for so long and now suddenly, you know, really filling up in that, I'm starting to push some weights and pull some weights that I'm like, ooh, that's getting pretty serious. And, you know, I got back to squatting and I hadn't had a squat bar on my back for, I don't know, maybe 8 months at least, other than a safety squat bar, which is quite different. And I saw Brett Wilkins doing some Smith machine squats and holding the wrist straps out the front. I got on there in the first week back in squats. I think I did a bunch at 180. And they weren't flash and they weren't very deep. And, you know, and so I thought, oh, yeah, that's okay. And so I came back the second week and did the 180 for a rock bottom set of eight, and then managed to get on the, put 200 on and just do a couple of real slow singles. You know, so just did a couple of reps here and, you know, sat down the bottom with them a little bit longer than I should so I could get a good photo. And it was good. So really enjoying being strong again. It's like, yes, this is why I do it.
I went to do some deadlifts the other day, and the gym deadlift record is only 220. Yep. It hasn't been up, the record board hasn't been up long, and Sean King's there and he could go and do probably RDL 220, you know, but he just hasn't been bothered. And I was on the way to the gym kind of going, oh, I might deadlift first today. Oh, I should probably try and break that gym record. And then thought, hang on, I'm like 4 weeks after comp and I haven't deadlifted in 3-4 months. So I did, you know, 180 for a set of eight or something like that. So I'll work my way back up.
And therein lies the subtle difference between you and I, my friend. I would have looked at it and went, I really shouldn't do this 4 weeks out from a comp. And then I would have walked away and went, fuck it, I'm doing it. And I would have got hurt, 100% bad decision. I would have got hurt. So good on you for remaining smart and training smart, because, you know, the whole game is about training smart, but particularly as you get older and you've got a few limitations, you don't want to add anything more to the mix. So
Yeah. It's kind of hard too, because all the talk and everything you see, you've got to train hard, you know, intensity, you've got to die under the squat rack and all that sort of carry on. And you're going, yeah, I just can't, you know, I can't do that. So there's certain muscle groups I can give it plenty, and there's others I have to be a little bit more circumspect on. So
I tried that in the gym the other day, and I went, right, I'm going to be sensible. I'm going to get some good volume. I still want to push it right around that failure, but I don't want to have, you know, the massive loads that are going to, you know, put a lot of stress on my tendons, etc. And so I did a workout, and then at the end of it, it was a fair bit of volume, and I went through, and my average reps in a set was somewhere over 15. So I was doing supersets, 15-15, 20 rep, you know, on warm-ups with 20 reps. And I think the lowest set I did might have been 10 reps, but the majority of them were 12s, 15s, and threw a few new exercises in, and wow.
That was the DOMS.
Wow. Absolutely mad, but sort of remaining quite full for quite a while after the workout, and the pumps have been insane. You know, I've just been walking around going, holy shit, I fucking look full. I look like an off-season bodybuilder shit. So, you know, it's all been pretty good. Been pretty good time, I've got to say. Hey, we will cut to the chase, because we've got to get on with our topic for today. And our topic for today was really sparked by Mike breaking the family budget and smashing the credit card to pieces.
I didn't. I've decided my bodybuilding has got to be self-funding, so I've started some more coaching. So
yeah.
I picked up 4 online clients, and I got one here in the gym. So, yeah. You know, I only wanted probably 6 to 8, so I'm nearly there. But that's sort of keeping separate, so I'm not blowing the mortgage or the food budget on stuff.
Sorry, kids. It's fish fingers tonight and tomorrow night. So, Mike, we're talking health supplements here. So for those that, you know, probably, you know, pretty au fait with supplements, etc. But the majority of supplements bodybuilders tend to talk about really are the performance supplements, in terms of, you know, your whey's and your creatines and your pre-workouts and things like that. And today we're not here to talk about intras or pre's or anything like that. We're talking about health supplements. So something that a lot of bodybuilders now put a lot of focus on, perhaps something that in the past we were pretty average on. But I think as a lot of guys that have grown through the sport have got older, the one thing they kind of think is, why didn't I start doing this sooner? But nevertheless, there's been a big increase in people that are focused on their health and well-being, and rightly so. And there's not a lot of talk about supplements around that. So we thought it'd be a bit different in terms of topic. And Mike went out, as I said, purchased a bunch of health supplements, and we're going to run through sort of what he's got, why he's got it, if he knows why he's got it. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. No, it's not true. He's pretty strategic about these things. But let's have a chat about it, Mike, and let's see what you got in your shopping list.
Yeah, so I've not passed myself off as any sort of expert. Some of the stuff is, I just heard it was good. Some of it, you know, I've seen on podcasts and I've recommended it, and some of it is specifically targeted for sort of, you know, cholesterol profile and liver function and that sort of thing. So
I just want to check it in there. Did you do a lot of research about these prior to, or is it just a case of I'm going to run with anecdotal evidence and that people are giving, because I haven't got time to wait till, you know, I find all the studies. I just want to get the benefits that others are seeing.
Well, I guess a little bit of both, but I guess the podcast that I'm watching, these guys are relatively clued up, and as you say, there's a lot more talk about getting your blood work done and looking after your health markers, and therefore some of the questions that are coming through on these podcasts are, you know, how do I sort out my cholesterol, you know, my HDL, my LDL, how do I, protect my kidney, how do I, prevent prostate issues, you know, that sort of thing. So some of them I recall the name of the supplements and couldn't recall what they said about them, but what I actually did is I was using the Piana organ support through my prep. It was Ricky, nice, recommended by Kurt, so I was using that right the way through. So what I did is I pulled that up online, looked at the ingredients, and then decided I'd sort of buy a lot of the ingredients one at a time.
And just a question for you, the NS Tile Assisting, the NAC, can you purchase that online?
I have done, yep. So, it's on my list, so I'll take it through. I think it's a precursor to glutathione. Yeah. But the glutathione, you could buy glutathione as well, but that was out of stock. So
don't you have to run that IV though? That's the problem, because I know Dave Palumbo runs IV glutathione, and I wondered you couldn't take it orally, hence they use the NAC.
Beyond my understanding, perhaps it was lucky it was out of stock because I was just selling me snake oil.
Yeah, well, we got some spare creatine, just right, L-glutathione. This stuff's amazing. Anyway, carry on.
So that was sort of my process. Write down all of the names of all the health subs that I'd kind of heard of, all of the ingredients of the organ support, and then sort of go through one by one. Now, my sister last year had breast cancer, and she's been through chemo, radiation therapy, all that sort of thing, and she seems to be, she's in remission and seems to be pretty good, but she is now on a real health kick as far as antioxidants and keeping everything really healthy and supporting all the functions of her body. So she gets stuff from a place called Piping Rock in the US, online order thing. So she sent me a link and buy one, get one free kind of thing for a few of the things. So I went through there and just started adding up, and I got there's two for one, and there's buy one, get one free, and it's this and that. And then it came to $350. Then I looked on the credit card, and that was $350 US, and it came to be $490. So that's just sort of what ended up. But what I thought I'd do is I put together a document, which I'll share with you, which has got all the supplements that I got. I mean, I left a couple of the basic ones out. I don't know if I put the zinc and things in there. Things, common things you can get here. But the other day when I was thinking about doing a podcast on it, I just quickly Googled, found some studies, found some recommendations on dosage and that sort of thing. So look, I don't want to say I've done a thorough deep dive on the research on all of these things. This is the first few websites I kind of came to. So look, if I'm talking rubbish, by all means, put something in the comments, help everybody else out
I guess this is a bit of cover all, as with anything on our podcast, a lot of this just experience, and really some of the things I think that you're going to bring up will be things that other people haven't considered, and a great starting point for them to go out and do some research themselves and see if they want to spend the money on it.
Yeah, it was also, I haven't had a lot of experience with them either. I ordered them all, and since I've actually seen another couple of podcasts and done a little bit more reading, and some of them I think are more targeted for particular times of the year and times of your training phases and that sort of thing. Like, I got some berberine, which I'll see further down, but then I was just listening to a podcast that talks about your inability to get a pump when you're on berberine or metformin, because your body's sort of processing those glucose in a different way and kind of getting rid of those so quickly.
I think a lot of that has to do with blood flow in terms of vasodilation, vasoconstriction, and blood being diverted away to the digestive tract for that absorption. So you're not getting the vasodilation in the extremity. So your arms, legs, etc., not going to get those massive pumps. So possibly behind it, there's a bit of me just having a bit of a guess there, but.
Yeah.
Berberine, obviously GDA. So you get a touch on that one.
I'll get down to that. Yes, I'll go. You can see my screen now. I shared my screen.
Yeah.
Cool. So citrus bergamot recommended for cardiovascular health for your lipid profile. And I did find a study on this. It was the study. I just tried to summarize it there. They had a decrease in total cholesterol 25%. So the study groups had 500 milligrams twice a day or 650 milligrams twice a day for 30 days. Yeah. Decrease in total cholesterol 25%, decrease in LDL of 33%, and decrease in triglycerides of 32%. And only a mild increase of 9 to 13% HDL, but you'll take whatever you can get if your HDL is low. So
yeah, particularly for guys that are coming post-cycle, any increase you can get in that HDL has got to be a good thing, right?
Yeah, I would have thought for the enhanced athlete, it might be worthwhile on cycle as well. You know, the higher you keep it. I mean, obviously, some of the compounds really crash your HDL. Your LDL tends to be a little high, but generally our diets are pretty good. So
my bro science is going, when adding AIs, add citrus bergamot.
Yeah.
Potentially. Yeah. Anyway, that's a good thought. And look, even if you cherry pick some of those figures, even a fraction of that would be, I think, from a health perspective, well worthwhile.
Yeah, I don't know that there's too many of these that you're going to kind of take and go, oh my God, that's amazing. Look at how, you know, look at it. But
your heart and your arteries might.
Yeah, well, that's right. There's a whole lot of sort of hidden dangers. You know, you sit there with low HDL, you could sit there for year upon year upon year and then just depositing plaque in your arteries and not clearing out. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're having strokes and heart attacks and things. So, and you don't know, you don't see it. They don't do a lot of testing for it. I know when John Meadows was having issues, they did what's called a calcium test,
yeah,
calcium score. But doctors don't seem to know what that is here. So
no, I was really interested in that because they were quite focused on that as being a much higher predictor of future issues than just lipid profile. But when you talk to people over here and say, oh, do you know what a calcium score is? They're like, oh, is that for bone density? And I'm kind of we're not talking the same language here.
So anyway, this might seem fairly obvious to most people, but if an enhanced athlete comes off cycle and gets their HDL back into range, gets it back up again, it's not like, okay, my HDL is good again, right, time to go. The amount of time you spend with your HDL in range is more a predictor of long-term health. Because, you know, if in very basic terms, LDL is the bad cholesterol that deposits plaque in your arteries, and oversimplifying, but the HDL is the good cholesterol that goes around and sort of cleans those things up. So if you're not having the plaque cleaned out of your arteries because your HDL is in the toilet for 9 months of the year, then that's 3 months of the year sort of helping, but 9 months of the year where you're depositing plaque. So just getting it back in range and then getting back on cycle and have it crashing it again is not going to be fantastic for you.
It's probably the mugs game for, you know, doing your bloods, you know, like, oh, yippee, my bloods are clear now. They've come back up since two months ago. Time to go back on cycle. Probably not a great strategy in terms of longevity, but... so be it, you know.
But I guess
make wise choices.
And taking drugs is not a great strategy for longevity, full stop, is it? So
yeah.
Right. Saw palmetto. It's supposed to be protective of the prostate, and it's improved kidney function. So for the ones further down, I didn't find any more studies because I didn't look hard enough, because I just threw this together for the pod, but yeah, it also talks about reducing DHT binding and metabolism, so it might be worthwhile if you're on DHT derivatives. The dosage there was 160 plus milligrams. You get a whole variety of different people saying different things, but I saw 160 plus milligrams a day and 100 to 800 twice a day, and I see the ones I've got are 1200 milligrams. So I just cut and pasted the picture of the supplement that I bought. So I was getting two bottles at 120 capsules of 1200 milligrams. So that's probably worth taking all the way along. As you're probably aware, kidney function is crucial. You know, your liver's pretty regenerative, but if your kidney's screwed, then, you know, that doesn't fix itself. Yeah. So look after your kidney.
Probiotics, we've touched on these before. Yeah, I think beginning to be a bit of a staple for a lot of people. Now, did you get any enzymes or anything with that, or just going probiotics?
I didn't. I have digestive enzymes here, which I bought locally. I was just going through their list and going, what else could I get? What else could I get? Because if I was ordering it, it's, you know, significantly cheaper than here, even with the postage. After we had Darren Dingle on and he talked about his digestion protocol, I've kind of given that out to a few clients and a few other people. I use that myself with the... there was apple cider vinegar, psyllium, probiotic. What else did he have in there? There's a couple other things in the morning.
Glutamine.
Oh, glutamine. Yeah, glutamine was in there. So I was having that every morning. And then as we discussed, I ran out of probiotics just before I started carb loading. And you know, for whatever reason, decided it wasn't that I wouldn't go and get any more. But, you know. Shocking. So probiotics, pretty standard stuff now, just to keep everything, you know, regular and moving. So alpha lipoic acid, that was another component of the organ support that was Piana organ support. So where it says increases insulin sensitivity, lowers blood glucose, it probably is a milder form of berberine. Looking at the berberine, I was when I was getting ready to carb load, Kurt suggested I take the red corn RPG because it's got berberine in it. And so I ordered some of that, and he was having me take a little bit of that with not a full dose, but a little bit with every meal when I was carb loading to just try and help, you know, just get those glucose into the muscles. So potentially off season, the alpha lipoic acid might be a better option, and I'll save the berberine for if I'm having sort of insulin insensitivity, because I do check my blood glucose levels in the morning. So when they start to rise because I'm sort of pushing all the food, then maybe I'll switch over from this to berberine. But yeah, again, I just bought a whole lot of things, and I'll then work out when I'm going to use them. Maybe I'll ask Kurt and say, hey, Kurt, I'm real lazy. Why don't you just tell me I should take these things? So yeah, zinc, yeah, good standard zinc, magnesium. So yeah, what I found there, heals wounds, boosts immunity, supports healthy blood supply, supports good sleep quality and recovery after hard workouts. Improves your body's ability to use calories you consume for fuel rather than storing them as fat, 30 milligrams a day. Berberine, as we discussed, there was a bit of talk about improving general health. So there's also that sort of helps glucose disposal, helps insulin sensitivity. That's the after buying it, I was listening to a podcast, and it said that there's a study showed that it increased AMPK, which I think is a intracellular uptake enzyme, which decreases mTOR. They kind of oppose each other, so it slows down your muscle repair. So potentially, you know, berberine, if you've got an issue with blood glucose, if you're really pushing the food, it might be worth getting it in. But I don't know to what impact, what extent it impacts on muscle repair, but I guess that's something to look out for, that it could slow your muscle recovery.
Is that a mushroom extract?
Yeah, that's a mushroom extract.
Ah, here we go. Interested here.
Endurance ability, and actually they were saying it was really expensive, but it didn't seem to be. It was perhaps it's because it's either got so little in it or it's fake, but they were talking about it being quite rare and sort of more difficult to get when I was Googling it. So improved endurance, libido, fertility, immunity, I mainly got it for the antioxidant effect. But there, as you say, an animal study that corrects arrhythmic heartbeat patterns. So it's a good, heart health. Improves the heart's use of available oxygen, leaving more oxygen in the blood to be circulated through the body. So therefore could potentially improve your pumps. Relax the lining of blood vessels, which allows for improved circulation, lowers blood pressure. So might just also help those the ones with the poor cholesterol profile.
I've often seen it in products that are claiming to be beneficial for kidney health. So
all right,
reading some of that in terms of the blood vessels and things, improved circulation, I'm sure that along with obviously lower blood pressure is possibly where they're coming from. Whether there's anything that's showing that is the case, I don't know. So
well, that's supposed to be the big issue with high blood pressure, isn't it, that affects your kidneys, because the blood vessels in there are so fine that increasing the pressure can kind of disrupt those blood vessels.
They sort of talk about it being like trying to force hot water through coffee grinds, and the higher the pressure, the more shit gets blown through the I think it's the nephrons or something like that. So my explanation is probably horrific, but I think that's the gist of the bro science behind it.
And apparently decreases LDL and fats in the blood. So, we can all use a bit of that. Ashwagandha, compared to the placebo, significant strength gains, considerable muscle growth, much less exercise-induced muscle fatigue, increase in testosterone levels, greater fat loss. So, it seems to be just a, grow and recover kind of supplement.
It's a supplement that's often associated with products for mental well-being in terms of lowering anxiety levels and promoting restful sleeps and things like that. So I've seen it tied in with products like that, and it's something that's been around for a long time, but we're only kind of seeing it, I guess. JP and that seem to have their own product there, and they promoted that quite strongly, but a lot of the English guys seem to use it.
Yeah, and it it was in that piano organ support. Says there 250 to 500 milligrams a day. Somewhere else said 450 to 2,000. This is 750 to 1,500. Apparently my tablet's got 4,500 in it. So what am I going to cut one in half or something? I don't know. I've heard people talk about ashwagandha. Haven't really gone down the rabbit hole and had a good look at sort of what it's for, but I guess
it was there. It was there, so you threw it in the basket.
Well, it was in the organ support, so just grab it all. Yeah, and NAC, then a massively good antioxidant, and it also said that it helps the other antioxidants work for longer, increase the duration of your likes of your vitamin C and things. And good, your main thing is liver support, right? So it's used to treat liver damage. So,
For anyone who's unlucky enough to have seen someone have a paracetamol overdose, when they chuck them on the NAC and glutathione drip, the reason they're doing that is to bring that inflammation in the liver down so that damage is decreased here. So when it's used for that sort of purpose, where someone's, you know, acutely damaged their liver or potentially damaged their liver, for someone who's putting their liver under strain, be it lifestyle drugs or whatever it might be, seems like a sensible option.
And you know, we are all putting our liver under stress, even the natural athletes, because just by doing a workout, you're damaging tissues that the byproducts of that get processed by the liver, so it puts the liver under a little bit of stress. So can't hurt for all athletes to sort of help support the liver. I mean, it is quite regenerative, but worth looking after.
Nice.
So, and as you can see there, I've kind of cut and pasted things from different websites because they're in different fonts, but to gain more energy, blunt fatigue, build muscle, gain strength, strip off fat, and maintain better health. It sounds like a wonder supplement. Consider taking 600 to 2,400 milligrams a day. Those are 600 milligram tablets, so probably do that for a little while.
Nice.
I'll have to, when it all arrives, I'll have to kind of work out what a daily dose is and how much it's costing me and when I have to spend another $490 if it, you know, if it lasts. So that piano organ support was about $90 for about 30 days worth if you use it at the dose. In that rate, what if the last 5 months, if it lasts me 5 months, but I've got a few more other bits and pieces there, or actually at a higher dosage than is present in those ones as well. So,
well, if you drop your screen down, I can give you a quick rundown of mine, real quick one. I spent hours preparing this presentation I'm about to show you. I honestly, I thought about it and I thought, no, the easiest way to do it and for me to remember is just empty my health subs onto my desk. So it's just, here we go, straight out of the cupboard. So, piano organ defender. So, NAC, a bunch of the things that you've purchased individually, milk thistle, etc. So, liver support, some things in there that are useful in terms of blood lipid profiles. So, a good, I kind of grabbed that as a, as close to a coverall as I could get. I could have gone out and handpicked ingredients, but I used to do that and I was spending around $120 a month on health supplements that weren't as effective or didn't have as many products in as what I could have in my stack by buying that. I don't run the full 9 tablets a day, so I only take 6 because I'm topping up with other bits and pieces. And so it lasts me maybe six weeks, 7-8 weeks, somewhere around there. So I use that along with first thing in the morning, along with a good multivitamin. You know, I don't go out and buy Solgar or anything super expensive.
That's the place to start, eh? First thing you go and buy is a good multi, eh?
Yeah. And something like Centrum or something like that has got a pretty good profile. You don't want one that's just chocker full of B vitamins because all you're doing is paying for expensive piss. For fluorescent B vitamins to be flushed down the toilet. Like you, I take a probiotic. I don't worry too much about the details, whether it's 10 billion or 50 billion. I just want a probiotic. Look, if I had gut issues, I would spend a bit more time in this and, you know, really go out there and do the digging. But at the moment, things are pretty good, so I haven't. I also take fish oils. I take 6 grams of those a day. And the last thing I add in the morning is my turmeric. So idea behind that is anti-inflammatory, yeah. So if I take that first thing in the day, by the time I get to my workout sort of late afternoon, you know, my inflammation's pretty low. I haven't, my whole body can move. And so that's my pre-breakfast stack there. After breakfast, vitamin C. I take some extra B vitamins. Just again, no particular brand. I throw down some low-dose aspirin. It's a very cheap insurance policy. And that's my supplements post-breakfast. Then at night, it's pretty simple. Really, I take some more Q10. There's some of that already in the Piana. I take another 3 Piana tablets. I take my 5-HTP, try to keep my mood nice and buoyant. And then I throw in some more fish oils once again at night. And that's my health stack at the moment. So I'm unsure what that costs. I'm really a bit of a thrifty spender when it comes to that. I'll go out and hunt specials. Found a great place the other day when I was in Auckland. If you go to the Dressmart Mall, there's a pharmacy in there that sell close to expired stock and things like that, and just specials where you get two for the price of one and 50% products. And I honestly save 50% on my health supplements. So, you know, that was pretty good. So that's really mine. It's pretty basic, but I feel it's enough at this point in time. I'm very open to any comments that people want to put about products that they believe have really helped them or that they think have potential. Because, you know, if I come across something like that, I'm always going to throw in the mix because my budget for these kind of things is only going to be increasing with time. Certainly not going to skimp on it so I can, you know, have another protein shake in the day or something. So I want to look after their health. So I'm, you know, happy to take any suggestions on board. And I'd love to get the feedback from perhaps a supplement owner, store owner, or a wholesaler, you know, Shane, et cetera, Mike, or anyone out there that wants Michael, if you want to, you know, give us your 10 cents worth, love to hear it. But also from coaches that have got a really real good interest in nutrition in terms of the finer details. If they've come across some stuff that others should be using, you know, we want to hear about it. It'd be really cool to hear from it. Maybe we could even pull a podcast together and get some people like that to come on and have a yak to us about it.
You just need the people, if you're listening, if anybody's listening out there and they've got those skills or they have that experience.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Like, we'll do a bit of a follow-up and maybe they could give us a bit of a review of what we're doing and what they think, or some suggestions to have a more effective health stack, or even some things that we haven't even considered. Because, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff out there. There's so much information. It's just a matter of who trips over it first. So.
Yeah, it kind of comes down to, although you don't skimp on costs, it's like, how much of a difference is this going to make? And is that worthwhile? Because it's not a zero-sum game. If you're, you know, if you're spending on this, then potentially you can't spend on that, or sooner or later the budget runs out. And I always go on, you know, how do I feel?
How much is one extra day worth to you, man? I'm looking at it going, look, if I spend an extra couple of $100 over the next couple of years,
oh yeah,
and I get half a day, like maybe like till just after lunchtime extra, fuck, it's money well spent, you know.
Look, if it was a couple of $100 over the next year, absolutely, yeah, no question. But you can just keep adding these things on and more and more, and, you know, add more supplements and more supplements, so, you know,
and potentially you're just creating expensive urine again, you know.
And, you know, potentially there's some supplements that are doing the same job as another. You might not need such a dosage of this.
On the flip side, what if some of the things that we're mixing and matching have some supplement-supplement or supplement-drug interactions that actually are detrimental to us? So there are all those things to consider. for people much wiser than ourselves in these areas.
Like everybody.
No, look, hey, that was really cool. I really enjoyed that. There's certainly some things on your list that I haven't looked at, so I'm going to have a bit of a dig around on some of those things. But again, if anyone's got any opinions, please let us hear about it. Till then, we will see you probably later in the week or early next week. We're going to do a couple other podcasts before we've decided to push our picks for the Arnold's out to 1 month out from the Arnold's. So we're going to have a show 1 month out from the Arnold's and have picks. So hit us on Facebook if you've got top fives for the Arnold's, and we'll read them out, and that'd be good to hear. So until then, stay safe and get some real good training, and man, go and smash some weights.